Nan Robertson was already a star reporter for the New York Times when she began working in the Washington Bureau in 1963. Covering her first speech at the National Press Club, she encountered one of the most shocking symbols of sex discrimination in journalism. The all-male press club had a tiny balcony where women correspondents were forced to stand, squeezed together, while male reporters and their guests lunched in luxury below. Robertson says that balcony was a metaphor for what working women faced everywhere. Her new book, The Girls in the Balcony, tells the story of how women at the New York Times struggled to attain equal footing with their male colleagues. Maureen Corrigan has a review.
I finished reading The Girls in the Balcony the same day I finally read last week's issue of The New Republic. That's the one with cover stories on the new feminists. Inside, essayist Karen Lehrman discusses why most women today don't call themselves feminists, even though they endorse the movement's basic goals. She doesn't buy Susan Faludi's theory that a concerted backlash is responsible for making feminism unpopular. Instead, she says that feminism itself is the problem. It's too insistent that women view themselves as an oppressed group. Lehrman wants a return to something called heterodoxy, an early 20th century movement that rejected the cramping classification of woman and urged that women just be human beings. Well, like I said, I read Lehrman's piece after I finished Nan Robertson's book, and I kept imagining Robertson shaking her head wearily at Lehrman's vision of a gender-blind society. You see, Robertson chronicles the history of sexism at the New York Times. Many of the women she interviews once thought of themselves in asexual, professional terms. They were reporters, editors, and accountants. But to their surprise, they learned that their employer, the New York Times, thought of them all as women. As health writer Jane Brody testified, that meant they got pats on the fanny instead of raises or promotions. Karen Lehrman would probably dismiss The Girls in the Balcony as a reactionary tale about women reinforcing their own sense of victimization. But I think it's a thrilling story. It's not so much a book about the New York Times as it is about working women coming to respect their own value. And it's a must-read for anyone who's ever ended a sentence with the words, "But I'm not a feminist." Robertson shows why women still need feminism, flawed as it may be. The scary central drama of Robertson's book unfolds in the early 70s, when some Times employees covered and became transformed by the growing women's movement. Activists like then-copy editor Betsy Wade and economics reporter Eileen Shanahan formed a women's caucus, and they discovered, among other horrifying things, that the average salary of a male Times reporter was $59 a week higher than the average woman's salary. In 1974, seven women employees filed a class action sex discrimination lawsuit against the Times. It dragged on for 4 years until it was settled at the 11th hour out of court. At the end of The Girls in the Balcony, Robertson totes up the gains and losses of the lawsuit. The seven women plaintiffs paid for their courage with stalled careers. But lots more women were hired because of the lawsuit. Writers like Anna Quinlan and Maureen Dowd, and the first female assistant managing editor, Carolyn Lee. But Robertson also recalls a conversation she had with a new female reporter hired 2 years after the lawsuit was settled. This reporter, obviously a believer in heterodoxy, said, "I got here on my own merits, and I'm going to get ahead on my own merits." It must have taken every ounce of self-control Robertson had to stop herself from uttering that old Hemingway line, "Isn't it pretty to think so?"
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.